The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went up the mountain and was joined by his disciples. Then he began to teach them. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly, I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Lord, what we have not give us. Lord, what we know not, teach us. And, dear Lord, what we are not, make us, for your mercy and your love's sake. Amen. Amen. So, despite the extraordinary weather around us, we return in the church's language to what we call ordinary time. After all the high drama, the intense focus of our major festivals, the religious calendar turns back to the normal, the mundane, the everyday. We've been through Advent and Christmas, onto Epiphany, last week Candlemas, seeing the story of our faith, hearing again that presentation in very vivid contours. But now we settle into the ordinary. Like a pilgrim on a long journey in between those great shrines and sanctuaries, we just march along, counting and marking off the distance as we progress towards the next shining landmark. These three Sundays before Lent used to have far more interesting names. It used to, you probably remember that it was first of all Septuagesima, then Sexagesima, quite interesting to the teenagers, and Quinquagesima, but just interesting ways of describing the marking of time, counting the days of our life, pressing forward and learning the lessons of ordinary, everyday holiness. And that's the Christian life. Most of our lives, most of our days have nothing fancy or dramatic to recall. As the hymn writer puts it, the trivial round, the common task should furnish all we ought to ask. And it's in the ordinary days that we learn to put into practice the most vital realities of any authentic spirituality. So it's not the grand gestures, it's not the impressive extremes that make for genuine embedded holiness. It's the folding into our lives, day by day, of that humble vision of faith and hope and love, the Christ-like characteristics through our everyday interactions and obligations in the world. And that's the perennial message of our prophets. Comes through very pointedly in both of this morning's scripture readings. We had, first of all, the strong words of the Isaiah figure crying out for everyday justice. In many churches, today is actually celebrated as Racial Justice Sunday. For us, the focus is broader. But not the hollow piety. The prophet was concerned that we were not caught up with conspicuous fasting and self-denial, but more the unobtrusive holiness of fair wages, of compassion for the poor. And then the radical teaching of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, wanting to unmask all that outward show of the scribes and the Pharisees, the religion that's all about virtue signalling, where it's the institution's rule book and its anxious self-preservation that becomes an end in itself rather than the means to a life of genuine reverence and authentic service. I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So we need to listen to this stark critique and challenge that returns in every generation. The way that God's prophets remind us that true faith is walking the walk more than talking the talk. It's not about our high-blown ideals and moral pronouncements. And sometimes, sadly, it is even the failure of church leaders and institutions that brings us back to recall the absolute fundamentals of our obedience to Christ. It can be a shocking realization in any age to find that our religion may be fixated on the wrong things and to be recalled to the deeper truths, to shake our own complacency and that of our religions, to ask, what does genuine holiness look like? What kind of righteousness does God require? And how are we to walk day by day in the loving light of the kingdom? When the planet burns and refugee families are turned away from our borders, what can we do in our ordinary lives, our daily interactions, to seek first the kingdom of heaven, God's righteousness and God's justice? So let's listen to that Isaiah figure in chapter 58. I say Isaiah figure because scholars reckon that the later chapters of Isaiah were written by somebody in the same prophetic school as Isaiah, who was addressing the people after the scandal of exile, when they were trying to re-establish their community on pious and godly lines. But what was the way forward? What were the priorities to be? What did God really want? Is it the loud praying and the pretentious fasting that will get God's ear and show them to be God's people? No. That's not genuine righteousness, says the prophet. God's ear is turned to the cry of the hungry, to the demands of the poor and the oppressed for justice. And this is the fast which God requires. Maybe worth dwelling on the specifics of Isaiah's charge. There's nothing outdated in the priorities that he outlines from verse 6. To loose the bonds of injustice, untying the yoke. It's an image of careful, determined undoing of the structures and the systems that may operate very nicely to our advantage, but unfairly to others, to loose those bonds of injustice, to let the oppressed go free, to break the yoke, spotting those things which hold back the weakest members of our society, and spotting what we can do to break that downward spiral, to share your bread with the hungry. This gets very practical when we think about our own casual habits of consumption and the impact, often unjust impact, of our choices, our spending on other parts of God's world and even our own society. To shelter the homeless poor. Four priorities. What kind of community tolerates the kind of gross inequalities which we often get used to and take for granted as somehow inevitable consequences of the standard of comfortable living which we feel entitled? This is what God requires, says the prophet. Our God, the God who is not the God of religious activities, but the God who is the Redeemer and the Savior of the whole world, the God of the planet, the God of the poor, the God who cries out to those privileged to be his people, to work with God, to serve in the strength of God's Spirit for hope and healing in the world. So the charges are laid for us to pick up. But with that, very beautifully, and Isaiah is always a prophet of encouragement, not of guilt, there is the great promise of God's enabling. We're not to feel crushed by the challenges of a greater justice. We are to feel inspired and guided and helped by God's grace to work with God for greater wisdom and compassion. And I love the way that the prophet always connects the deep challenges with great blessings. And as you go on in that chapter from Isaiah 58, immediately there are four very beautiful, extraordinary blessings in verse 8. Your light shall break forth like the dawn. Your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator will go before you, and the Lord, the glory of God, will be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, here I am. It's a very tender vision of a God who yearns for this world's redemption and invites us to walk with him on our own daily path of everyday justice, holiness, peace. So what does that mean for ordinary people? We're not all great leaders. We're not some kind of superman or superwoman who can fix the problems of the world. We can't take on a spectacular global challenge. And it can sometimes be a very unhelpful image which discourages us rather than encourages us to do what we can for God in the world. But Jesus gives us a much more humble vision, a very accessible vision of holiness in his everyday images in the gospel. It's like being salt in your own kitchen. It's like shedding light in your own home. The little things that matter, the things that are within our reach to do and to change and to have an impact, the little ways in which we can give ourselves away as salt does, as light does, to make a difference, to change the character around us. It's like being a city on a hill. Whatever your small group, whatever your neighborhood, whatever your family, whatever your church, your workplace, wherever we are together as a people, it's like those whose light shines a better way. This is where we change the world. This is where we make a difference, day by ordinary day, through our small steps on the road of justice. So what can I do in an unjust world? I can respect that question to begin with. I can trust that as one person, one ordinary, faithful follower of Christ, I can do for God what otherwise would not be done. I can trust that some injustices through my decisions will be overturned. I can trust that some person who is in need, through my compassion, will feel the touch of human life. I can trust that others will find a listening ear or a helping hand in their poverty because of the choices that I make to live in the wisdom and compassion of God. It isn't just our compassion. It's not just our concern for justice. Our authentic service becomes true when we walk humbly with God and find his justice and his loving kindness makes its dwelling in our hearts. Amen.